#1 sports site in the world.
Live from the Quicken Loans studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. Nighttime. This is the right time.
You know the nighttime now.
It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. I feel like the week isn't going to be complete if I don't have yet another rant on LeBron James. What am I? Am I 4 for 4 this week on my rant on LeBron?
I think so, yeah.
I think I've had a thing about him. I think I've had a little issue with him all week. Some people might call that obsessive, like Donald Trump, Megyn Kelly obsessive. But I can't help myself. Every day there's a piece of news about LeBron James. Before I get to that, I want to wish my wife a hello on her way back from the airport. Long trip. I actually went and her flight got delayed. And I finally was like, all right, I'll have to wait. She was on her way back from New Jersey, and the flight that she was scheduled to be on was full. They offered her a chance to, you know, give up her seat for an $800 voucher. So I told her, take the $800 voucher.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? Like, take the $800 voucher. And I said, how long, like, when's the next flight? She's like, 3 hours or something. Oh, my God, treat yourself to a nice dinner. Chill out at the airport. Get your $800. Little did I know that her flight was going to be massively delayed on the tarmac and didn't get into Nashville until late. Well past my start time for the show tonight. So I didn't get to see her. So she's on her way back and she just texted me. She says, I'm listening and I want you to say hi. So I am now having to say hi. Hi. She treated herself to a $30 steak, man. $30 steak.
I had a steak tonight, but it wasn't a $30 steak.
So what was that? Made in gold? I mean, she's probably going to ask me about the $20 car wash that I got yesterday. Which, by the way, what did I say yesterday about that car wash? Remember what I said? I spent $20 on that car wash and it's going to rain. It rained.
Yeah.
Came down in buckets. Nothing worse, man. Nothing worse. Looked outside, woke up in the afternoon, looked outside, it was pouring. And I just went, I hate life. Hate it. Just saw those beads just hitting my car, my freshly washed car, the manager special all over it, just getting just completely destroyed.
Did it at least just bead right off? You know, like
it should have for
$20.
It should have. You think for the $20 manager special, it would have come with like a perfectly like a Clark Griswold foam, you know, like coating, like plastic coating over the cereal varnish. You'd think it would totally bead off, but no. Oh God, I'm just throwing money away. Like it's ridiculous. $30 steak. I said, boy, that steak, that better be from like a rare, rare cow that they're only growing like on an island in the middle of like the Pacific. You can only get this beef from this special breed of cow. $30 steak at the airport. You ever had a steak at the airport?
No.
After you've passed security?
Mm-mm.
I don't know if you know this. Listen to this. So I was at it was Christmas time, like 10 years ago. And we were leaving to go to see my folks. And we were in Denver. And it was just one of those weeks where everything was great. And we were excited to be on vacation. And I just rolling along. And I said to the family, I said, we're all going to go out to dinner. We got ways to go for the trip. Let's all go to the steakhouse. So we went to this really nice steakhouse at the airport. So I ordered a T-bone. And I was so excited. I was like, I have a steak and I'm going on vacation. And this is wonderful. Feeling good about life. The steak comes and I can't cut it because I don't have a steak knife. And the steak knife that I had to cut the steak was the plastic, like, picnic knife that you get out of a thing. It didn't occur to me at all that you can't have steak knives at an airport after you've passed security.
Makes sense.
Right? So I couldn't cut this steak at all with the plastic steak knife that they gave me that was basically security proof and hijacked the plane proof. And I was so frustrated, I almost picked up the entire T-bone and ate it like a burger. Because I just couldn't cut into the steak. It was killing me. But still, it was really delicious. Wasn't $30, but she claims she got a voucher, but I'll just, whatever. I'm sure she was like, no, I got an $800 flight ticket. I'll treat myself to a $30 steak.
I want a $30 steak right now.
I know, huh? Right now. I can't tell you. I had pizza with the kids, which was fine, but it wasn't a $30 steak.
No.
For sure. So, hi, honey, on your way back home from the airport. on a very, very delayed flight. She says, oh, I'm really, really tired. I go, yeah, well, try doing overnight radio for a living. We're not exactly like, you know, pumped up full of, you know, caffeine here on this program. So anyway, back to my LeBron James rant. All right. This is actually good news for, because all week we've been telling you about LeBron's doing this and this is crazy. LeBron's doing this and this is crazy. And what does he mean by this? And why is he sending out cryptic tweets? And why is he talking to Dwayne Wade when they're getting blown out by 21? And why is he talking about playing with four other guys when his career is winding down? And where is that going to be? And why is he doing this? Why is he unfollowing the Cavaliers on Instagram and Facebook? What is wrong with LeBron James's relationship with his team? Tonight, he didn't even score in the fourth quarter as they lost to Brooklyn. I don't think AAU teams are losing to Brooklyn. So they lost to Brooklyn tonight. And once again, it's up in the air about, oh, what exactly is going on? Well, apparently, coach Tyronn Lue and GM Dave Griffin actually pulled LeBron James and sat him down to talk to him. Now, you may roll your eyes, and I can already see you doing it, rolling your eyes saying, there is nothing you can say to LeBron. Well, according to Tyronn Lue, the meeting went well. And I'm glad they did this, because here is the one thing that is lost in a lot of the LeBron's dissatisfied and he's doing all of this stuff and he's getting underneath the skin of his teammates and showing his displeasure and all this stuff. And people trying to read into this is that there are actually teammates on the Cavaliers that were brought on to that team by LeBron James. And if he doesn't want to be around, if he doesn't want to be there, if he's not showing the proper leadership, why should they follow him into any sort of battle in the postseason? When you're getting crushed by the Miami Heat, and instead of warming up, you're talking to Dwayne Wade, I don't care if you're LeBron James and you can do these kind of things. The fact of the matter is, you shouldn't do these kind of things if you're a true leader. You're the one that wanted Kevin Love. You brought in Kevin Love. The only guy on the team that I think wasn't handpicked by LeBron James is Kyrie Irving. And in a way, Kyrie Irving was handpicked by LeBron James because LeBron James chose to go to Cleveland with Kyrie Irving already there in place. So in some sort of, you know, kind of a weird, twisted way, you could say that LeBron actually chose Kyrie, meaning I chose to play on the team Kyrie's already on. But everyone else was like, LeBron brought in all of these people, and it's LeBron's team, and he's acting as if he can't be bothered by this. So I'm glad that the GM, even though it isn't LeBron, David Griffin and head coach Tyronn Lue are saying, look, we don't need this either. They don't need to have LeBron James disinterested in their pursuit of going into the postseason. And LeBron going, I'm going to lock it down. I'm locking it down. I'm locking it down. Sure. Can you just show us a little bit? Just show us a little bit. Because when you lose games, or you're sending out cryptic messages and you're more interested in talking about, and again, the interview was a couple of months ago, so I'm not really faulting him for that, because it happened in early February. But even then, in early February, they were kind of a team that was disjointed. It's not like he gave that interview when everything was rosy in Cleveland. At one point in this season, were they rosy in Cleveland? I don't think there was ever a point this season that we all felt like the Cavaliers were on the right track. But I think there's something else to this. I think there is something else to this. I think it must drive him crazy. And again, in sort of a narcissistic way, I think it must drive him crazy that the center of the NBA universe resides in Oakland. And it not only resides in Oakland because the Golden State Warriors are great and pursuing a record and all that, but the center of the basketball universe resides in one player right now, and that's Steph Curry. I hate to say this, because I don't think these things are important, but Steph Curry is getting the kind of national love I don't think LeBron ever got in his entire career. I don't think, even when he was a young kid out of Ohio on the local Cavaliers, I don't think the nation warmed up to LeBron James like the nation has warmed up to Steph Curry. And after 2010, they absolutely didn't warm up to anything he was doing. And again, in a narcissistic way, I think there is something about that that bothers LeBron James. in just a weird way. I think it does. He's the best player. But Steph Curry is the most exciting player, the most popular player, and he's probably going to win the MVP again. He's probably going to win the NBA championship again. He's got everything. He's got everything LeBron once had, but he's got it with almost universal affection. When has LeBron ever had that? I never think he did. Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, 800-777-2907, the telephone number. Tony D with you, taking you through the night tonight. Glad you could be with us wherever you are in the nation. Glad you're spending time with us. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Adrian Borges will join us. I get that last name right? Borges? I did the interview.
Burgos.
Sorry, Adrian Burgos is going to join us. He's a professor at the University of Illinois. He also writes for Sporting News. Help us sort out the Major League Baseball Cuba situation. I still find that fascinating. I find that whole story fascinating. Still. I know a lot of people roll their eyes because it involves the president and politics. But it's a major deal if you like baseball. If you love baseball, it's a major deal because this could open up the sport to an island that, A, loves baseball. And, two, it's got some good, talented players in the system. Now, the politics of it makes me kind of lean back and go, ugh, I'm not so sure. The sports angle of it is something that I can get into. I can sort of I've said this before. I find this a rather interesting story, that what Major League Baseball is doing in Cuba and with Cuba, because on the one hand, I absolutely see the baseball business end of this. There are some talented players on that island. And if you can create sort of a relationship with that country where those guys aren't getting into makeshift rafts and trying to make the 90-mile journey under some treacherous waters with their lives at risk to try to get to the United States so that they can pursue their dream of playing Major League Baseball, if you can ease that burden and open that door, sure, baseball should pursue that. But at the same time, this is a communist nation that we have not had relations with for 60 years. I don't know if it's all of a sudden we should just jump right into it and act like, oh, no, we're all friends now, because I don't think we are friends.
Well, and also remember, in the case of, say, like Yasiel Puig, and there's other players that have done it, but they pay some of these, coyote-type guys to get them. And remember the story of Yasiel Puig? He, was stuck in a house for, 6 weeks and had basically no food, no water, nothing.
And remember the stories that people were talking about how, hey, you know what happens when you get over to the United States and start making millions of dollars? They want a piece of that.
Yeah, they take a huge cut of that.
And so there was all this speculation that Yasiel Puig was under pressure, that he was getting threats. And remember that? I mean, it's just all this speculation. And I don't know if anything ever came out about that, but there was a legitimate feeling like, boy, he's being handled by some pretty shady people. Because, look, nobody, while there's always going to be freedom underground railroad types, the world is filled with a lot of opportunistic people who do this for a good, whether you want smuggled out of North Korea, whether you want smuggled out of Cuba, whether you want smuggled out of other areas around the world. Yes, there's always going to be people who are going to do it because of freedom and because they want to help their fellow man. But more often than not, it is more filled with the opportunistic capitalists that say, yeah, we know how to do this. We can get you out, but it's going to cost you pretty much, pretty a lot of money, especially if you're going to go make millions of dollars in Major League Baseball. I really do find myself going back and forth on that. I really do. Because, again, I could really hear the plight of the exiles who are just thinking, no, we're not doing this. We are not going to celebrate Cuba.
And the talk still, I mean, it hasn't calmed down at all. I mean, I'm seeing it all over Twitter every day. There's articles on all the major websites still talking about, and it's like you said, it's both sides. You're seeing both sides.
And again, it's when you have this forum, when you're on radio, you're taught from the second you get a show to have strong opinions and don't be on the fence. And you got to say, I like this or I hate that. And that's just the way you got to do this. This is one of the few topics I have I just don't know where I lean. I just really don't. I absolutely see both sides of this. And I know I'm playing the Russell Wilson card here, where it's like, I like chocolate and vanilla, But on this, I read Dan Le Batard's piece, and I'm so moved, and I think it's a mistake, and I think it's a terrible thing for baseball to get involved in. And then I sit back and go, yeah, but you know what? Sports has been used in some ways as that broker piece, that detente, that opening of a door. And once you crack in a little bit of Western culture and freedom, sometimes that works. Sometimes those walls come down. And I wonder if this is going to happen. And like I said earlier this week, when you remove one small pebble on a stone wall, it may not feel like much, but it's one less stone pebble you have to move. And I think that's the case here with Cuba. It may, like, today and tomorrow and a year from now, 2 years from now, we may look at the Rays and the Cuban national team game and not even think about it anymore. But it could be the start of something that 10 years from now we say, wow, they didn't know back then what they were doing, but this really escalated and it progressed and this island started to change. I don't know. Maybe I'm dreaming. Maybe I'm too optimistic on this. I don't know. But I mean, it's been 60 years, man. I mean, that's a long time. And we haven't budged on our relations with Cuba. 800-777-2907, 800-777-2907. So we will talk to Adrian Burgos about that from the University of Illinois. The Sweet 16 games tonight, I said this earlier, if you like good executed basketball, then you found your teams tonight. If you like basketball played in a particular style and well done, you got that tonight from Nova, from Oklahoma, from Oregon, from Kansas. If you like drama, if you like last second heroics, if you like a team putting up good fights at the end, this was not your night. Miami got rolled. Texas A&M couldn't shoot. Miami ran out of gas. And in the end, I just think Oregon just outplayed Duke. Duke's a talented team. They just got outmatched.
I think tonight we're going to kind of revert back to the norm that we've seen kind of the last few years. It'll probably be exciting games, but bad basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not really... This was the night I was looking forward to. The last night. Tonight is the, you know... Yeah,
what do we got tonight? Let me look up the games tonight.
So we got North Carolina, Indiana.
Okay, that's a good one.
We got Wisconsin versus Notre Dame.
That's a really good one. That should be a really good game. I think Wisconsin matches up pretty well with North Carolina.
Yeah, I think it'll be an exciting game, but...
But you don't think it'll be well played?
No, because, I mean, Notre Dame doesn't play defense. They kind of score, you know, they're not very efficient. So, in Wisconsin, we don't, you know, like, Wisconsin showed up and been like a really good team, and then they disappear for a while, and now they're starting to show back up.
We got Gonzaga-Syracuse.
Which I think is an interesting game.
I'm going to make a bold prediction. I think Gonzaga crushes them. I think they figure out that zone
and
they crush them.
Yeah.
I think they hit the outside shot and that forces the zone out, and then Sabonis and Wiltshire just dominate inside. I think they crush them.
Yeah, I mean, Gonzaga's length is just, it's so tough to handle.
Tough.
Even in a zone, it's almost worse because
Exactly. Those
guys are good, you know, 15, 16-foot shooters.
Oh, and by the way, just in case you don't think I'm that kind of host, on Sunday night, Monday morning, if Syracuse wins this game, I will totally eat it on the show when we start next week. I will have no problems doing that.
We do that all the time.
I do it all the time on this program. If you've listened a long time to this show, I do it all the time. I'm wrong all the time. But I just got a feeling Gonzaga is going to blow them out. And Iowa State and Virginia.
I think Iowa State wins it.
Yeah, Virginia, man.
I'm not sold on Virginia.
Weren't they the team? Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't that the team when people were talking about Michigan State and like, Michigan State, Michigan State, Michigan State?
Yeah.
Weren't they pointing to Virginia and going, that's the team that should be out of the one spot?
Right.
And Michigan State should be in.
People thought they should be flipped.
That's right. Exactly. I thought that was Virginia. All right, we'll talk MLB and Cuba next.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
It's Tony D here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Now, earlier this week, the world watched Major League Baseball go to Cuba, and it was an event that was sort of polarizing for a lot of people. It's a kind of a tough topic to get to, I want to get some history and some sort of thought about this event. We brought in Adrian Burgos from the Sporting News and also a professor at the University of Illinois to kind of help us look at this issue. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for your time. All right. When you saw this game, what was your initial reaction to this? What was your overall feeling about Major League Baseball going to Cuba?
Well, MLB has desired to get into Cuba, and I think Commissioner Manfred has definitely made it a top priority. The talent there is too great for MLB not to have a presence. And so, you know, it's not surprising that within his first year as commissioner, they had a goodwill tour, and now, you know, first time since 1999 that MLB is in Cuba. And, you know, it's also as soon as President Obama started normalizing relations with Cuba that MLB is like, hey, we're in on this too. Because, you know, one of the fascinating developments has been the ways in which Cubans have had to defect from the island to play baseball. And we see it in the story of Yasiel Puig and others, you know, where you all of a sudden you have narco traffickers. It's like, hey, you know, there's a lot of money to be made in trafficking baseball players out of Cuba. And so MLB was like, well, do we really want to be complicit in such a structure?
I got to admit, when you do this for a living, you take pretty much any topic and you got to have a strong stance on it. On this one, I have gone back and forth. On the one hand, I get all of the business side of this, and I also get that sometimes sports is used as a catalyst for political change. But on the other hand, I really am sympathetic to the exiles in the United States who are looking at that regime and know how horrible they have been to their own people. Is Major League Baseball sympathetic to that, or is the business too great for them to sort of look into that reasoning?
I think baseball, MLB, is sympathetic to the reality of how exiles from Cuba have had a very difficult history with the regime that has been in place in Cuba. On the flip side of that is it has been over 50 years, and the dynamic that I think MLB is trying to pursue is what for a while was being called baseball diplomacy. Can change be produced by bringing in baseball and opening up markets? I mean, this is in many ways for that brief moment that Russia was turning more democratic. You know, it was hockey, NHL, and it was bringing the Sergei Fedorovs and Vladimir Konstantinovs from behind the Iron Curtain into the United States, into the NHL, and, you know, markets opened up. And in many instances, you know, in many ways, I would say historically, the Russian, the Communist Party in Russia was just as harsh a ruling party over the people of Russia. And so change came to Russia. I don't know if we would say it's the same today as it was 20 years ago, but the fact of the matter is the NHL helped to bring about a change. And I think this is what Commissioner Manfred and others saying, you know, can we bring economic change and ergo democratic change to Cuba? What we've been doing for the last 50 years has not worked.
I think it was Michael Jordan, though, one time famously said, Republicans buy sneakers, too. And in a sense, to sort of throw off any sort of, hey, I'm an athlete and I want to make political statements. In this case, for Major League Baseball, can they have a relationship with Cuba where they don't say, boy, we would really like change there? Do they have to keep mum on that just to keep that sort of business relationship open with that country?
Well, you know, what's interesting and what makes the situation in Cuba so complicated is Cubans love their baseball, and they love seeing their players succeed in the major leagues, even if they had to defect. And I think, you know, there's a difference between the Cuban people and the Cuban government.
Yeah.
And that, you know, one of the things that Chris Archer and other guys from the Tampa Bay Rays were saying is, these people know their baseball. And, you know, and this is even with the separation of politics and this wall of information, they still get the information and they're still following Cespedes and Puig, and they know the stats and they live baseball. So baseball has endured as a passion of Cubans despite the political difference and despite, you know, the gulf between the U.S. and Cuba and Cuban Americans and those who remain on the island. And I think what MLB is trying to do is, can we tap into that great talent that is present in Cuba? And can we also create a means of bringing these players to the United States, A, more safely, B, more cheaply? And the reality has been that because of the trade embargo, we see players taking these dangerous risks in trying to get out of Cuba to a third country to come and become eligible to play in Major League Baseball. So the redefinition of some of the aspects of the U.S. Department of Treasury's rules about doing trade with Cuba, that you can now pay Cuban citizens as professionals in the United States, can lead to more defections, but not necessarily from into Central American countries and by spirited out of there by narco traffickers. And one of the things that was really fascinating when Rob Manfred is being interviewed on that four-letter network from Bristol was that he mentioned that perhaps that the Cuban Baseball Federation could be defined as a social group and not a governmental entity, and perhaps that might be a means of allowing for the transfer of goods or funds to the Cuban Baseball Federation so that the Cuban baseball system can continue and that MLB can have greater access to their players.
Can you elaborate, and I don't know if you know much about it, but can you elaborate? Here's a communist country. Here's a country that is really much like isolated from the outside world. I mean, I heard stories of people hearing about major league players, but couldn't recognize them in a book. And yet they've produced some seriously good major league level talent. How do they do that? Where does the training come from? Is it government sponsored? Is it just natural born and they just sort of refine it? How does it work there?
There's a couple of things. One is the weather's great for playing baseball year-round.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's one very big positive. Another thing is that, yes, baseball is socialized in Cuba, and that is a talented 10, 11, 12-year-old kid is identified, and they send them to sports academies that are run by the government, and they spend half their days in class and the other half on the field. And this is actually a very big difference with what the baseball academies in Cuba, where these young kids who are 10, 12, 13 years old are training for a tryout with the major league team, and at the age of 16, they can be signed by a major league team. But they drop out of school. And so many of these kids in third, fourth, or fifth grade in the Dominican Republic are no longer going to school. They're just playing and training for their tryout at 16. In Cuba, those players are being trained, but they're also learning grammar, math, sciences. In 1999, I spent a couple of weeks in Cuba doing some research, and I was able to attend a couple practices and see some of these students. And they're like, wow, they're in class. And they get out of their school uniforms and into baseball uniforms, and they start drilling, taking infield practice, having inter-squad games. And so the Cuban system, the parents don't pay anything for their kids to be developed as baseball talents. It's all covered by the government. And again, comparative to the United States, man, your parents have to pay out of pocket hundreds of, and even, I mean, tens of thousands, and even in some cases, hundreds of thousands of dollars to get their kids the training, the travel teams, the going to the hotels, the tournaments, with the hope of getting a baseball scholarship or perhaps being drafted by a Major League Baseball team.
Adrian Burgos, again, sporting news and professor at the University of Illinois on Major League Baseball and Cuba. It's a fascinating situation, and I know it's pretty polarizing. Thanks for shedding some light on it. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, I want to stay with baseball coming up next because Alex Rodriguez announced he is going to retire in 2017, after the 2017 season, basically getting every nickel the Yankees are going to owe him on that contract. But what if he becomes the all-time home run leader? Would it be worse? We'll talk about that next, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
I got a little ringing in my ear, and I don't think it's from the equipment. I think it's now I might be getting sick. Is that possible? That's like this little low hinge. Before I get to my A-Rod stuff, I know the answer to this question, Adam, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Do you have any interest in seeing the new Batman versus Superman movie that is out?
I have no interest to go see it in theaters.
Would you see it on DVD? I thought the answer was no, emphatically no.
No, I really like the Batman movies. I've seen all the Batman movies. Growing up watching them with, you know, George Clooney and Michael Keaton and all them. I watched all them.
Even the one with the bat nipples?
Yes.
I think that was Batman Forever.
Yes, was that Forever? Yes, I believe it was.
That was George Clooney, and I think it had Mr. Freeze, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, yes.
Yeah, they say that was one of the worst movies ever made.
Yeah. So far, I've seen good reviews. People are saying they like it.
They like the Batman Superman movie?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So, I mean,
I'm going to go see it this weekend with my kids. They want to go. My wife's going out with some friends. I'm going to take the kids to the movies.
It's weird because, you know, I've seen all the Batman movies. I like all the Batman movies. I think my favorite one is one of the more recent ones, the one with Heath Ledger as the Joker.
Yeah, that's great.
I love that one. But I've never gotten into the Superman stuff.
The new one was really depressing. It was like weird. And it was, I didn't think the guy who plays Superman is a very good one.
Yeah, I've seen them, but I've never been like, man, those are really good. Like, I got to watch them again. Like, Batman, if I see it on, I'll watch it.
Yeah, I definitely liked the Joker one. I did kind of like the one that was the last one with Bane.
Yes.
Like, you know, I thought that was kind of cool. It was a little long, but
yes, it was.
I thought Bane was really cool. You talk like this, or Batman. I just loved that.
That's almost dead on.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's because I used to walk around with my kids and try to scare them. I took my kid to see that movie, and he was just a little too young. I remember my wife and I having this debate because we were on a family vacation with my brother, and my brother is that kind of, I don't know if you've ever had the uncle that's just like, I'm the uncle that lets you do whatever you want because you're my brother's kid and I'm just going to cause hell. That's my brother.
Right.
Like, so my son was just a little young when that movie, just a little young, and he wanted to take him to the Batman movie, and so we went to, my wife goes, no, you're not taking him, he's too young for that, so much violence and all. It'll be fine. Well, it was a my son was a little shaken up, so then, just because I'm a cool dad, I decided to used to scare him with the Bane voice. I'd walk in,
you better brush your teeth, or I'm telling you what, I'll be coming into your room later tonight.
Like, it was just great. It was just traumatic therapy. It was just fantastic.
That's awesome.
Could not get enough of the Bane voice. That kid. So this one, now he's older and he's just like, nothing phases him. And
right. I think
even he's kind of looking at it like, this is a little weird. Because he made a really good point. Batman isn't supposed to beat up Superman.
Right.
There's no, unless he's got kryptonite, there's no world in which this is possible. Superman is, you know, Batman is a normal human being. That's what makes him attractive to people. He doesn't have superpowers. He's just rich. So he can afford super gadgets. So we'll see. These movies are great, but I feel like I get a superhero movie every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I can't keep up with them.
I can't either. I'll stick to Batman and... Really, the only other movies I watch, and they're not even superheroes, but from like when I was a kid growing up, is the Transformer movies. I love
them. Yeah, those were good. Those were real good.
So,
we'll see. We'll see how that goes. I'll see when all the reviews come out over the weekend. But I'm going to go see it on Saturday, regardless of what the reviews are, because the kids want to see it. And that's what I do. I'm a good dad, and I did the Bane voice to my kid and traumatized him. So now I got to owe him whatever he wants. So Alex Rodriguez announced he's going to retire at the end of the 2017 season. Which I think is great, because he's going to get every nickel the stupid Yankees are going to give him, because that was a ridiculous deal, and Alex Rodriguez is owed that money. He's going to collect it all. All right, but here, welcome to my hypothetical world here for a second. Alex Rodriguez needs 75 more home runs to tie Barry Bonds on the all-time list. That sounds like a lot, and it is a lot. Don't get me wrong. It is a lot. But last year, he had 33, and he's 40 years old, so we don't expect him to hit like 50 home runs. That's not going to happen. But let's say at the end of the two seasons, now here's my hypothetical. Let's say at the end of the two seasons, he hits 65 home runs in those two seasons. and he just needs 10. That's it, 10. And so he's retired from the New York Yankees, or he's done with the New York Yankees, but, you know, the Miami Marlins guy goes like, hey, why don't you just sign a deal here for like $2 million? And he's like 43, and he's playing there, or he's DHing somewhere, and he's just trying to get 10, just trying to get 11 home runs. If he gets those home runs, if he does get 76 home runs in the next year and a half, three years, do people look at the home run record and go, ah, or do they go, oh, this is actually worse than Barry Bonds because we really hate Alex Rodriguez?
Yes, I think it's worse. I think it's worse.
I think it would be worse, too. I actually heard this conversation on local radio today, because at first when these guys brought it up, they were saying how if I'm Alex Rodriguez, I stay until I get the home run record. And I'm like, well, you know, it's not as easy as that sounds. That sounds right. Like you would do it, but you really are. It's amazing how quickly the home runs drop off once you're not using steroids and once you're over 40. It's like you go from 33 to like 15. It's really amazingly quick. But hypothetically, this could happen where he changes his mind. Nothing's etched in stone. And if he's close enough, believe me, somebody is going to tell him he's got a job.
He already today came out today and said, I could change my mind. He's already thrown it out there.
Wait, let me ask you a quick question. If you were 10 short and you were 42 years old, would you try to get a one-year contract somewhere?
Yeah, because I bet you he could still get $6-plus million for it.
I think so, too, and become part of the story.
Right.
So this could happen. Maybe. Yahoo Sports Radio.